Okay, well, here we are back on air, and I'm about to start talking to Kelly Klink at Protect Aotea. Kelly, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Hi, Sharon.
Oh, hiya. Great to have you. So we're doing a phone interview, so that's why it's a bit tricky, but it's all good. So Kelly, tell us about you were talking to Auckland Council quite recently about the Sky City fire and your concerns around water ending up in the Hauraki Gulf.
Yeah, well, so I went there yesterday just to confirm because I think it was 25 million litres of water went into Sky City. 8 million went down into the basement, and I think it was 1.8 million went out into Waitematā. And so I wanted the testing to be done, because what they're going to do, or what they intended on doing, was dredging for the America's Cup, but now they're going to turn it into mudcrete and put it on the land base. But I've asked, where is that permit? Because the permit for the America's Cup is still being held by Coastal Resources Limited, which will be dumped out by us at the barrier.
Right. Okay. So your primary concern is around things being dumped out by barrier. And was there some awareness of the toxicity of the material that was going into the bay? Oh, sorry. Was there some toxicity in the material that's going into the bay? Can you hear me now? Hello? Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. So were you concerned about the toxicity of some of the material going into the bay?
Of course. You know, we knew there was going to be toxins that were coming off the Sky City into the stormwater drains, and so we really, really pushed for the testing to happen, and we really wanted to stop any more dredging until some proper monitoring is taking place. And I think what's happened with Sky City is a really key aspect to things like Ports of Auckland, who only have to test the water once every 3 years. There's no sort of contingencies for when these sort of things happen.
Right, okay, yeah. So I understand they're now going to maybe take that material out of the sea and out of the bay and take it to landfill somewhere.
Yes.
Right, okay.
We don't know yet where that's going, which landfill yet.
Okay. So I'm not sure if the microphone was on before, so I'll just say I'm talking to Kelly Klink, who's with Protect Aotea, and looking out for some of the area around Aotea, which is going to potentially be receiving dredgings from the Ports of Auckland dredging, and also from other projects.
Coastal Resources Limited.
Yes. So can you just explain briefly what dumping has been consented recently and not, so that people are just aware of it?
Coastal Resources Limited hold a consent of 50,000 cubic metres, and in February this year, the Environmental Protection Authority granted another 250,000 cubic metres to be dumped outside by Great Barrier, Aotea, and we are currently in the High Court. So we've got an appeal process happening, which means they can't... That increase can't happen until it's been heard in the court. So we're waiting for a judgment at the moment. But then you've got the likes of Ports of Auckland, who have been granted consent to dump, but their dumping grounds will be out by Cuvier. I'm preparing at the moment to put that through the High Court, Ports of Auckland and the EPA. Because they talk about a cross-contamination of the two dump sites. So you're looking at the one at the barrier, the northern disposal area, and then you've got the Cuvier dump site. Now, that's quite a huge range of area. And so in an official information act that the EPA put out on their website, they did some monitoring of coastal resources. So from September 2015 to August 2018, there's been 277 dumps 253 at night and 24 during the day, and only one mammal sighting, so one pod of dolphins is sighted. Now, that's quite an alarming number because that's the whale migratory route. So if they're not seeing mammals, that means that water is contaminated. Why aren't the whales and why aren't there more dolphins and sea life out there?
Right, okay. So, Kelly, you've got a long-standing relationship with Great Barrier. So what does the marine environment mean to you particularly living out there? Do you feel that because you're living in a way that's a little bit off the grid that people are a bit more aware of or dependent on the marine environment?
Yeah. So our family, or, you know, our people have been out there for 30 generations living on the barrier, and with unbroken occupation. So where that dump ground is one of our waitapu where the whapaku grounds are. So those are all our old traditional fishing grounds. So yes. And also, if you look at it in today's aspect, Great Barrier at times, and in particular through winter, is very cut off from the rest of New Zealand. And getting food supplies out is difficult at times, and yeah, a lot of the, not only Māori but the community rely on fishing to survive.
Right. And so how do you see this evolving? Because I know, you know, on Waiheke, we sort of feel that it can be difficult to get Auckland's attention for some of the things that affect us. So, for example, a marina on Waiheke, which is predominantly probably going to serve Aucklanders, given the price of the berths. But how does one, you know, make people realise that these things are important? Because I know that there's been dumping and dredging over the years out by Rakino off the tip of Onitangi, and it's been through community protest that has gradually moved further and further out and is now sitting somewhere off the coast of Barrier.
Yeah, see, what they do is they change. So if you look from the coastline to 12 miles out, that's sort of governed by the RMA. Then 12 miles out to 200 is governed by what's called the EEZ Act, the Exclusive Economic Zone Act. And that is a difficult one for us to... there's only been one other iwi, Taranaki, and ourselves that have gone in and sort of challenging that act at the moment.
Right. Okay, so, you know, we as a kind of nation, city, want development. There's the America's Cup, there's Ports of Auckland, we're reliant on trade, which comes in from the sea. People want marinas, well, some people want marinas. So what is the solution to dredging? I mean, it's got to go somewhere. Have you got any other thoughts around where it could go or what could happen to it?
Yeah, there was a talk about creating a reclamation sort of island and turning it into a bird sanctuary. I think there's better ideas that could be used, but what they're doing, and if you look through some of the consent applications and some of their affidavits, especially some of the marinas that are pushing to have the dredging done so they can get more berths in, they talk about the cost. So for land base, I think they were discussing it was nearly four times the amount than it was the traffic. But, you know, for our environment, they can put that cost into it to make it work. And so I'd like to see more land base dumping. I don't really want to see it in our Moana at all.
Mm. Well, I mean, I can't help feeling that, you know, with climate change upon us and the rise of sea levels, we're going to need to be using that material to build things like sea walls, protections to roads like Tamaki Drive. So I don't really understand why we're now dumping it into a pristine environment when 5 minutes from now we're going to have to, like, cut down the maunga in different places to provide quarrying. So, yeah, it feels like we should be looking for a more creative solution.
Fast, easy method that that they can get away with.
Yeah. And it feels that we don't really consider the social costs of things, and we should take a more holistic approach to both people, what people want in their marine environment, and, you know, what's good for us as a country.
Yeah, look, you know, the government's just put aside, I think it was $20 million to clean the waterways. My argument is, what are we going to spend to clean the Moana in another 20 years? Why aren't we looking at it now, looking after it? I think, you know, we need to stop dumping it out at the NDA in Kuvia and let that Moana heal. Let the marine life and those ecosystems. Now, out at Kuvia, they've already named, I think it was 5 dolphin and whales that are on the red threatened list. Why are we dumping around these areas? I don't understand. We won't have anything left, you know, in another 20, 30 years.
Mm. I mean, for me, I find it disheartening when it's, you know, switch over from plastic bags to cloth bags and, you know, reuse things, and you're really careful in your personal life. And then at a societal level, it feels like, you know, we could never keep up with the level of destruction that is being done commercially, and the harm that's being done to us.
It is. You know what I'd like to see? My goal is that I think every New Zealander should be able to go out and fish and get a catch. Now, I've been to a lot of meetings with either DOC or the Hauraki Golf Forum, and they're pushing all the time to ban recreational fishing. Well, I would like to see bottom trawling banned. I'd like to see big commercial boats banned, you know, and the long line. I think I would love to see our people still being able to go out, get a feed of fish, and being content, I think, and stop polluting our waters.
Mm. No, totally agree. Okay, so thank you. Did you have anything, last comments?
No, I think that's it.
Lovely. Okay, well, you know, keep fighting the good fight. I think we really need activists out there who are calling situations, and obviously the Sky City fire was a terrible thing, and you know, I think Auckland Council did move quite fast to do some testing and move things away from the stormwater drains into a system that could process it and clean the materials better. But I think we need our watchdog organisations, and we need people like you out there, you know, checking in with things and you know, calling to account developers and different things that are going on.
Yeah, just one last thing though, Sharon. You know, they do have a clause in these consent dumping that if it's too rough, and you know what it's like out at the Colville Channel, they can dump early. So that could come into Waiheke, all the dredging and toxic sludge that we're getting out by us can easily come into Waiheke, and it will come into the Coromandel, and a lot of places are going to be affected by this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know when I talk to people who are around in the 80s and 90s that when they were dumping around Rokino, they reckon that the fishing at Waiheke was affected. So all our northern areas, Enclosure Bay, out by Matiatia, that there was a sort of a sludginess that that occurred in that space when they were doing that. So, you know, you can't, you know, with water currents, you never know where stuff's going.
No, and right where they're dumping, it's right in the Pacific Current.
Mm-mm. Okay, well, let's keep fighting the good fight. Thanks so much for coming on Waiheke Radio.
Thank you.
So that's Kelly Klink from Great Barrier.